We are now in a new era. Climate change is upon us, and the scientific consensus is strong. After heat waves, droughts, powerful hurricanes, and more, the world's public knows all of this too. The world's leading climate scientists, organized under the auspices of the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, in their fourth assessment report, have recently brought us up to date on the scientific consensus, and the message is stark. The risks are enormous, and time is running out. The Kyoto Protocol has accomplished one major advance, the start of a market price on carbon emissions in the form of tradable carbon permits, albeit only in Europe. We must now move beyond Kyoto, which in any event expires shortly. Even to reach a new global agreement by 2012 will require diplomatic agreement by 2009-2010 to give time for countries to ratify a new protocol. There is a practical way ahead. Since the spring of 2005, the Earth Institute at Columbia University has sponsored the Global Roundtable on Climate Change, GROCC, which brings together leaders from business, government, universities, and international organizations. The GROCC has developed and adopted a concrete plan of action, GROCC Consensus Statement on Climate Change, to address the climate change problem, one which has won assent from leading businesses, scientists, and organizations around the world. The GROCC's starting point is that there is a scientific consensus that global warming is real and that it is caused by greenhouse gas emissions and primarily by our consumption of fossil fuels. The GROCC proposes a three-pronged solution to address global warming: mitigation, adaptation, and research, development, and demonstration, RD&D, of new technologies. Mitigation. At the core of the GROCC's consensus statement is the importance of setting a global target to stabilize atmospheric concentrations of carbon dioxide over the coming century, including mid-century interim targets for CO2 concentrations and rates of emission. Unlike Kyoto, which focused only on emissions targets, the new protocol would embrace a limit on overall greenhouse gas concentrations as well. As discussed earlier, mitigation efforts will involve increased energy efficiency, carbon capture and sequestration, development of non-fossil technologies, green buildings, hybrid cars, and other promising technologies. These will be spurred by putting a price on carbon emissions, implemented through a combination of emission taxes and tradable permits, as well as by industry standards in key emitting sectors. While the world will have to agree on shared targets and a division of responsibilities among individual countries, it is likely that the countries will keep flexibility in choices over specific policies to achieve targets. Instead of one grand scheme, there will be many variations of policy. Adaptation. Since global warming is already underway and will get worse before it is stabilized, we must also prepare for and adapt to the impacts of climate change. Many of the impacts will fall most heavily on the poorest and most vulnerable communities, and in developing countries with the least ability to adapt. Technical and financial assistance will be needed by particularly vulnerable, low-income developing countries to meet their mounting adaptation needs, that is, to protect society and the economy against droughts, floods, extreme weather events, and climate-related disease transmission. Mitigation and adaptation efforts need to be part of a coherent dual strategy. As the GROCC put it, effective climate adaptation will require stronger efforts within international climate agreements, as well as among development agencies, the private sector, and non-governmental organizations. RD&D. Governments will need to support, through direct funding or incentives for the private sector, major increases in research, development, and demonstration, RD&D, of advanced non-carbon energy technologies. Funding currently is just a few billion dollars per year. Worldwide RD&D needs are probably closer to $30 billion per year at the minimum, comparable, for example, to what the United States spends on health research in the National Institutes of Health. Targets for increased RD&D should include technologies such as solar photovoltaic cells, solar thermal, geothermal, tidal, wave, and nuclear energy, carbon capture and sequestration, improved land management, and sustainable transportation. special demonstration programs and other kinds of public policies that support innovation should be adopted so that promising new technologies and practices can reach the market quickly. Such programs will be of special importance in the rapidly industrializing developing countries, where most of the growth in emissions will be coming from. The highest demonstration priority, without question, is a series of CCS projects in the United States, India, China, Russia, and Australia, the world's heavy coal-using economies. If CCS works, we will have much clearer sailing toward global action. If CCS proves highly costly and unreliable, our options will be much worse, and we'll have to redouble our efforts and creativity.